Now, next week we celebrate what we call Pentecost. Pentecost simply means, Penta is Greek for 50. 50 days after the, or 10 days after the ascension. But Jesus was walking here on the earth for those 40 days. Our culture, boy, do we got a culture. A worldly culture, culture in the United States. But our culture, the one that we live in, we are to be open-minded. And that simply means to be receptive to novel thoughts and ideas beyond our perception or beyond what we can imagine or think about. We as people need to be flexible, adaptable to new experiences, to be open to information that challenges our current beliefs. Did you know that open-minded people are curious, open to ambiguity and rather than embracing dogma? We are willing to be uncomfortable and explore unknown realms of the mind. We talked about the mind a couple weeks ago. We as people of God are naturally curious. Interestingly, ancient Jewish or Hebrew mind is by nature curious. Now, why do we look at the Hebrew cultures? Well, when Jesus came and walked here on this earth, the Greek culture was primarily in Israel. The Hebrew language and the different things were sort of like put onto the backside. There was a lot of the Orthodox, but for the most time, the culture in Israel at that time was Roman Greek type of culture. Oh yeah, the Jewish people were still there. Interesting person by the name of Sigmund Freud. He talked about the ancient Jewish Hebrew mind by nature. He said, and it tended to be more open to the idea due to their focus on the mind, study, inquiry, reaching into the chasm of the unknown through their language, through their metaphors, and more importantly, through their faith. Even their concepts of eye and ear served as an idea that these could lead into kind of a spiritual knowledge, if you would, that lay far beyond the normal thing that they were experiencing every day. The power of the mind and the heart could be augmented, in fact, by God. And as we see in the spiritual stories in the Bible of Jacob's ladder, Abraham's covenant, the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John. In the last few months of his life, Sigmund Freud, he was exiled in London, dying of cancer. The town that he was from, Vienna, was occupied by the Nazis. Sigmund Freud took up again a manuscript in which he had put aside for years, and it was entitled Moses and Monotheism. In the very last section of the book, he argued that in choosing to worship the invisible God, that's what we're doing today, we're worshiping an invisible God. We know that Jesus sits at the right hand of Father. He's not here with us today, so we know he's here, but he's invisible. He said that Jews made the right choice because they opted for the intellectual, not the physical, subordinating sense, perception as an abstract idea. The Jews sought that the unknown was far beyond their horizon. And they were able at times to suspend concrete, logical answers and ask instead, what is real? Remember, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? They were asking a question, what is real? And imagine that truth cannot be pinned down, but lies in the realm of the divine. Although in Jesus' day, his disciples would have been highly influenced by their Greek surrounding and culture. Aramaic was being spoke, Hebrew was being spoke, Greek. A lot of different languages being spoken of. Now, we know Jesus also spoke and understood all of them. After all, he is God and he invented the languages. So, But the study of the Hebrew language, thank God that they had some people reclaim that ancient language. And we understand a lot of things better because of it. The Hebrew language, with all its nuance and meaning, in the art of inquiry. We are a curious people. They may have learned a bit too much towards the rational many times, as we see Jesus with his interactions with the disciples. But at the root, they were all curious. And they were open to Jesus' instruction and teaching and his challenges and his miracles. And in today's scripture, this is a doozy, ascending up into heaven. And I don't have a mirror here, but I think about it every Sunday when I go into the men's room there and I look in the mirror and I try to put this headset on. I struggle with it. Did you know when you're looking in a mirror, you're really looking at something that's backwards, unless you have a true mirror which reflects both ways. So unless you're holding up one of those true mirrors, reflecting is what you see is, like I say, is backwards from the way people see you. Isn't that interesting? Secondly, the most important question is the image you are seeing really? Or is it something else? How do you see yourself in the mirror? Jimmy Dean wrote a little thing that I got plastered on my mirror, and it's simply entitled, he called it The Man in the Glass. I changed it to The Person in the Glass. You know, when you look in the mirror and you're looking at yourself, you know you're looking at your very best friend. Think about it. So, at times, we may perceive ourselves, for example, as being overweight. I don't perceive myself. I know I am. And when others maybe just perceive us just right. We may perceive ourselves as having unruly hair, whereabouts other people might admire your hair. Or we can imagine that our clothes are too baggy, whereas another person might say, wow, that's very fashionable. The truth is, to carry on the pun, that perception is reality. So what's that say for our vision of reality? What's it say about our minds and our, what about what we know and what we don't know? Or more importantly, what do we think? Our minds determine reality and truth based on our own experiences, our knowledge, and our perceptions. Someone who is more open-minded acknowledges that one's current knowledge of reality may not be the only one. That our minds may be at least some way limited, or what is real or what is true lies far beyond our human abilities to fathom. This kind of open-minded curiosity allows all of us to imagine, to envision, to allow for truths that lie far beyond what our minds currently can make sense of. That's what we call faith. It is by faith that we accept Christ into our lives. That's why metaphors are so important to us. They give us an imaginative idea of something, what we might be like, what others might be like, and more importantly, what is God like? Throughout the scriptures, Jesus gives us metaphor after metaphor for God. For he is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. And for the plan that he intended on fulfilling. But more than that, he continually challenges his disciples and us to reach beyond our current culture and intellect and rational understanding and embrace the unknown. He needs to tell the disciples to keep their minds open to recognize that what they know is not the only realm of truth, that the gospel and the future mission, which we're a part of, the future mission and the kingdom of God depends upon it. But Jesus also knows how hard this is. He's been with the disciples in human form, God manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And he knows how the human mind works. It's miraculous. It's creativity. But he also understands the human mind has its limitations. He knows that they cannot possibly reliable understand what God is, to understand the scriptures or the magnitude of what he is doing, unless he helps them to put aside their sensory impediments and opens their mind, as the scripture said, to see not just the essential things, but spirituality, creativity, and expansiveness of our minds. I think sometimes we need to hear this. We need God's help to understand who God is. We need God's assistance to see with our spiritual eye and what God wants us to understand about the scriptures, about Jesus, and about the discipleship mission. That's why the Holy Spirit is always teaching us. And when you read the scriptures, you just say, Holy Spirit, I'm not sure what I'm reading. I need you to help me. Help me understand this. And he will. We need God's help to cultivate that kind of faith that moves mountains. To have the kind of mind that can wrap itself around miracles as well as the truth about who Jesus is. His death, his resurrection, and his promise coming again, and his ascension into heaven as he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and the coming Pentecostal experience. The scriptures that we read today are very important for Jesus. In it, we see Jesus opening his disciples' minds, both on the road to Emmaus and then also back in Jerusalem with the remaining inner circle. And he does just before his ascension so that he can get them to wrap their minds about what is ready to happen. He needs them not only to grasp and understand spirituality, what he was about to do, but to make his essential the foundational core of their faith and of their evangelism, spreading the good news. He needs them. He needs them to be impassioned. He needs them to be empowered. And he needs their faith to be intact. He needs their hearts to be on fire. On fire for the Lord. Now, if we were looking at some of the scriptures last week in the lectionary, but we were at the pond, so we didn't really look at them. But it mentioned last week about Jesus' ascension that it provides an assurance for the disciples. That's what Fanny Crosby said in that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. She couldn't see, but she had the blessed assurance. For Jesus will be sending the Holy Spirit to them. Next week, we celebrate that occurrence on a holiday that we call Pentecost. It's when the Holy Spirit will sweep through and anoint each disciple with spiritual knowledge and power. We know that happened because we have history on our side. But today, however, we're looking at the ascension. Jesus must leave them. His last words was to remind them of their mission to preach in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. What should they preach? Jesus' fulfillment of the scriptures. That's what they're to preach. The Beth, the death. The Beth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the fulfillment of all the scriptures that took place. Forgiveness of sin for all people, all people. And with the possibility of a changed heart and life. I'm a life that was changed, and I know a lot of you are lives that were changed. Thank God we're not the same as what we used to be. All of those things that are for people everywhere. It's unbelievable. Again, the lectionary last week saw the disciples afraid, grieving. But this week, The scripture says Jesus opened their minds to understand the enormity of who he is and what he is doing. And they are overwhelmed with joy. This is what God can do for all of us, each and every one of us. That's why it's so important that our lives represent what we believe and that people see us and we say that we are followers of Christ and our lives line up to it. Are we perfect? By no means. But God can open up our minds to the unimaginable miracle of God, God's gift to us, Jesus. You see, the truth of the scriptures and the immensity of God's love for us, it's mind-blowing. I know that. It's a mind-blowing truth of God that can only be found in suspending our minds and allowing our faith and our spiritual eyes and ears to lead us. To follow Jesus truly and fully, we, as people of God, must be willing to have our minds open to the truth and the realities that go far beyond what we know and what we recognize to be real. You see, the Christian faith is built upon the spectacular, the supernatural, the impossible. For this is who God is. If God were everything, we would already know to be true. We would have no need for God. We need God in our lives to reveal to us the realities of this thing we call by faith. But God is so much greater than that, than all of that. God is not only a God who unbinds us, but he's a God who lays out of the boundaries our entire reality so that we cannot help but praise and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the personhood of Jesus Christ. So our challenge for all of us, myself included, is I continue to grow. You know, it's just like babies when they come into this world. They don't come with an instruction manual. We learn how to take care of them. We learn this thing called life. We learn to depend on something that we cannot see. But by faith, we know there's something inside of us. We call it our conscience. But something inside of us we know is a God spirit connecting with our spirits. Comprehend the truth of Jesus' ascension and the coming of the promised Holy Spirit. We know it happened because we have history on our side. They didn't know it. They were so excited. 3,000 people come to know Jesus that day. And they understood the gospel in their own language. Allow the Holy Spirit to open our minds that we can see differently, that we can see with new eyes of trust and faith. And my prayer for all of us is that our hearts and our life be changed by the only one who could and can change it. That is God Almighty revealed to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we're in a part of the world where we grow things. But in order for things to produce more fruit, we have to prune them. That's hard. But once we realize that we can prune things out of our life and give us a better spiritual growth, we can do that. But it's free will. We have the free will. That's what makes America so unique and special. Oh, we're an exceptional country. There's no doubt about that. Are we better than anybody else? No, it's because we have freedom. And that's the way we are as individuals. We have freedom to choose whether we want to be a sinner or we want to be a murderer or whatever we want to be. We have the freedom to choose. And that small, still voice lets us know there is evil in the world. You can either choose life or you can choose evil. the choice is ours.